Before we pray, let us read a psalm word from Psalm 31, from verse 20. Psalm 31, from verse 20. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Let us rise to pray together. Faithful God, we thank you with all our hearts, once again for this hour and for these moments when we were allowed to come together to praise your holy name, to bring you honor and praise. Lord, you have done great things for us. We trust in you and we rely on you in every circumstance. Whatever it may be, Lord, we look up to you, O God. For you have been our refuge. You have been our support. You have been our help from the beginning. You protect us from the evil plans of men in the secret of thy presence. Lord, we thank you, we worship you in this evening hour and praise your grace. We ask you for your presence also this evening. Continue to speak to us, Lord, through your precious and holy word, that we may stand by your word and say yes and amen, Lord. Help me, help us all. Take everything that is not pleasing to you out of my life, out of all our lives, and out of our midst, O God. Lord, we worship you and praise your marvelous name. Give grace to my brother as he brings your word to us. And bless us all who hear. Give grace, Lord. Be with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks be to the Lord for the privilege of being here. We are already blessed through the songs we have sung together and the songs we have heard. The thought came to me when it was expressed that the sun will lose its glow, to put it in my words. But at that time, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings for all who have trusted in him. These are wonderful comparisons that gladden the heart when we consider God's word. It is very close to my heart that God comes into his own with us, that every one of his words is confirmed as true. You know, we have heard so much. We've heard powerful sermons, and our hearts long to experience God. We have Hebrews 13:8 up here. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. We have to visualize what He would do if He would come into this room and if we could see Him and fall down before Him and tell Him what moves our hearts. We would certainly not have 100 wishes, but one request that is particularly close to our hearts. We would tell Him this, and I'm sure that He would not reject anyone who came to Him. He didn't do that back then, and He wouldn't do that today either, because He remains the same. Now, He is not on earth in a visible form of appearance that we could say He is here or He is there, and yet He is present as He promised to confirm His word and to bless His people. We cannot ignore the need that individuals bear. It must become our own personal need. And when that happens, we come before the face of God together, believing that He will help. And I will perhaps read two or three scriptures. And as I said, I will not preach tonight. We will simply look at God's word and let the Lord speak through His word. In Psalm 31, we've read that. I just want to read verse 23 again. Though I thought in my despair that I am cut off from before thine eyes, nevertheless thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. There are situations in which we simply have to cry out to God so that He can hear us and help us. After all, we have the promise that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we know that Job was the man who was probably the most severely tested of all who have walked this earth. I read earlier from Job 30, and I want to read it here too. Job 30, from verse 16. And now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in me in the night season, and the pains gnawing at me do not sleep. Maybe up to here for now. We realize the inner distress he was in. And every person who really wants to stand his ground before God will recognize this deep need very personally and come to God so that He can help. We will see this in a moment. People who have to go through something difficult, no matter what kind, sometimes want to break free and are not satisfied with themselves and their circumstances. But the solution, the redemption, the healing and salvation come from God alone. And if we cry out to Him in our distress, He will answer. He has promised to do so. And it is not difficult for such people to understand what Job is saying here. The night pierces my bones. Such people lose sleep. They cannot sleep with what moves them. And they despair as the gnawing pain takes hold of them. But then there is a way out for us who trust God. Which the unbelievers do not have. They are left to their despondency. Not so the believer. The day and hour must come when the divine inspiration, this faith, which does not come from reasoning, but from hearing the word, enlightens something in our hearts like a spark, and we can then call on the name of the Lord in this God-worked faith. Verse 20 says, I cry unto thee, and thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and thou regardest me not. Do we not sometimes have the impression, even as believers, are these not the thoughts that move us? Lord, do you even see me? Do you care about me? Do you care about my suffering, the trouble I'm in? Have you dealt with it yet, O God? Don't such thoughts sometimes take hold of us? But now listen to what verse 24 says. But does not one stretch out his hand when he is drowning? And does he not cry out for help when he is sinking? That makes sense to us. A person who is drowning will stretch out his hand with the last of his strength. And we know about the story of Peter, oh, that it could become my story and yours, that the Lord is close to those who have looked to the wind and the waves and sink, and without the Lord, Peter would indeed have been no more. He would have perished. But he had once put his trust in the Lord and followed the Lord. And that was enough once and for all. There was no turning back. There was no drowning. There was sinking, but no drowning. And it says here, but does not one stretch out his hand when he is drowning? And does he not cry out for help when he is sinking? And verse 25, Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? When I looked for good, then evil came unto me, and when I waited for light, there came darkness. My bowels boiled and rested not. The days of affliction confronted me. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. So it was with a man who trusted in God, a man to whom the Lord gave the testimony right at the beginning of the story of Job. A man, perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil, a man like no other on earth. And yet, such inner distress. He waited for light, darkness came. He looked for good, evil came. For salvation, disaster came. Everything seemed to be turned upside down. The trial was beyond his capacity. Everything around him seemed to perish. And then he says, my bowels boiled and rested not. The days of affliction confronted me. Some of us, and perhaps one in this way and another a little differently, but basically, this is the state of all of us. One has a spiritual need, the other a physical one. One lacks here, the other lacks there. Somehow, we all sigh and wait for the power of God to be revealed. I went mourning without the sun. You can sing, sunshine of grace shines. You can sing that, but the pain is in your heart. But God wants to show us that he is more than capable of putting an end to this state. This cannot be a permanent state, because no one who has experienced God and who knows that God is able to do everything, to save, to heal, to help, and to turn everything around, such a person cannot accept being in such a situation in the long term. We know that God can save, that he can help, that he can heal, that he can deliver, that he is not only able to do all these things, but that he has provided them for us. And that the only thing that matters now is that we come to him in faith and receive his word and take hold of his helping hand and allow ourselves to be drawn out. I think that tonight God wants to show us this very personally, that we should not only think of people, in this case of Job, or of Peter, or of other examples already mentioned, but that we could grasp in faith that God wants to confirm His word and reveal His power in you and in me, in us today. If the man of God exclaimed here, I went mourning without the sun, I stood up and I cried in the congregation, then this is something that gripped him so deeply that he could no longer bear it. And I believe we have the right to take this scripture very seriously. At home, he may have quarreled with God and with the friends who visited him, talked, been in turmoil, and one question after the other was answered, and so on. But here he lets us know what he did in the congregation. In the church, he cried out to God. There was no more the back and forth, but he called on the name of the Lord. And that's when help came. We want to emphasize that tonight. I went mourning without the sun. I stood up and I cried in the congregation. We have the right, each of us, that even if we are at home, despondent, and sometimes more than that, that we realize that when we come together, God speaks to us through His word, and lets faith fall into our hearts, so that we are built up in the presence of God, and that the Lord can hear us, yes, that He can help, and that He can bless, heal, and deliver. I am about to read another scripture from the Gospel of Matthew. But before I do that, I would like to read just one passage from Brother Branham's sermon on page 10 on the subject of church order. It says the following. Let's assume someone comes and says, I can't get through. What's the reason? Then it takes God through tongues, interpretation, through prophecy, or some way to go down in that man's life and pull out that thing that he's done and tell him about it. That's a ministry that doesn't belong to the pastor. It belongs to these ministering gifts. But they are not to be done out there in the audience. I read this with the intention of dividing the responsibility for one another a little. It may be that we think that the preacher will do it all. He has his task, namely to proclaim the word of God in such a way that the listeners can grasp the hand of God in faith. But if they do not succeed in getting through, as we have read, then God has also placed gifts in the church that are to be used so that the person concerned receives help from God. And I notice for the first time that it is not written here at the end that he will then be prophesied over, but that he is told there are two possibilities. If it is nothing personal, but something that strengthens faith and can be spoken openly, then there is the possibility, as Brother Branham did very often, that he could tell people who they are, where they come from, and what God has done in their lives. He didn't expose anyone. He didn't embarrass anyone, but helped people from God. If there is something that binds a person and does not let go, and therefore cannot penetrate, then there is the possibility that God will reveal it, but that this revelation will then be told to the person to whom God wants to give it, to whom it is intended, and to no one else. Have we understood that? And no one else. It doesn't have to be that something personal is said to everyone. Not everyone is meant. Not everyone is addressed. But the person concerned to whom God wants to say something may be addressed, and God will help. We come to the very serious question. Who of all those who have been baptized with the Holy Spirit have thought about the fact that they too must make themselves available to God for the sake of others? God never gives gifts and blessings to make us feel good, but always for the edification of the body of the church, and for all to be blessed. As Paul writes to the Corinthians, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Here we are clearly told, let's assume someone comes and says, I can't get through. What's the reason? Well, if someone says this, and he says it out of the despair of his soul, I can't get through, what is the next step? Do we just say, I'm sorry? We regret the matter. Or do we shrug our shoulders and think, well, we are all at a loss. It can stay that way in the long run. With God's help, things have to change. Everyone has their ministry, but the ministry is always for others. A person cannot help himself. There is no believer who can help himself. Help always comes from God. And often enough, it comes through brothers and sisters who can be used by God in this and that way, through spiritual gifts and through the work of the Spirit to serve one another. This came to me anew and also to my heart. As I said earlier, we have received such a large number of the most powerful sermons and the deepest teaching, and it seems as if we can say the same words with Job and say what he said back then. The question that then arises is, what is the reason? It cannot be because of God. That is impossible. Nor because of His Word, because He and His Word belong together and are the same thing. Is it the sermon? I don't know. I don't want to wash my hands. And also the ministering brethren, we don't want to wash our hands off it. But I think that we can say that God has always used preaching to bring about trust in Him and in His Word. And yet, we have to be honest without giving room to unbelief that God cannot bear witness in His power in the way we would like to see. And that saddens us to know that God is the Almighty and that He cannot reveal Himself in His omnipotence. To know that Jesus Christ is the same, we believe that in the depths of our souls. And then to experience that He cannot reveal Himself as the same. To know that He is the Savior and then still have to see that people are not saved. Knowing that He is the Deliverer and then also having to register that people are not delivered. To know that He is the healer and to have to recognize that people are not healed under the sound of His Word. This is a balance that we draw in the sincerity of our hearts. But we do not stop there. We say, Lord, our God, believing in You and Your Word, we want to bear and take responsibility together so that You can reveal Yourself as You have said in Your Word. Job had it written here, O God had it written what he said, I cry unto Thee, and Thou dost not hear me. I stand up, and Thou regardest me not. Here we read in Brother Branham's sermon, when someone can't get through and they don't know what the cause is and that really exists, that people research their entire life and think about it, to not use the word ponder or steer around in it, to find something, and I guarantee you, they will find everything but what the cause is. They will make a whole register, and there are plenty of them. They will sit down, and then they will write down a whole register of everything they can think of that may not have been right before God. And I say again, I guarantee you that in the whole list, and even they found 101 things, then there is not in the 101 things where the devil has his right. And that's the trouble. And that's why God wants to reveal and help through the Spirit. For He has promised help, and what He has promised, He will certainly keep. Whether our brothers and sisters are here tonight or not, our hearts must be touched. And we must feel for one another and also stand up for one another in prayer. Here, I could say to myself, I have done my duty through my ministry, although I would likewise make myself available to God. For example, if He doesn't give me an answer, then He can still give you an answer through me. It is just like that, that every gift is never intended for personal use. Every gift and every ministry that God has placed in the church is always there for others. And so, as members of the body of Jesus Christ, we must reach out to one another. And here is this comment that it should not be done openly in a meeting. We are among ourselves. It is not an evangelization, not a lecture, but we are among ourselves and can trust the Lord. But that we let ourselves be given the wisdom to discern between our feelings and the work of the Spirit, and then the wisdom to know how to do what. In the last verses of Matthew 9, it says, but when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then says He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Here is a kind of great commission that already anticipates what was said in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. At the beginning of the ministry, the Lord placed this image with a harvest, with a sheep who had strayed and gone their own way, who could neither seek nor find nor help themselves. And then He asked His disciples to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into His harvest. And here He says in the very next verse, in chapter 10, verse 1, and when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Illnesses that the doctor can heal are never caused by a demon. That's a cold or whatever it is, a fracture or something. any illness that a doctor can cure, nobody needs to worry about. You can go there if you like and take the medicine if it makes you feel better. We are not worried about that at all. We are not fanatics who think doctors don't need to be. We are grateful for the doctors and for every hospital. Maybe I wouldn't be here today if that didn't exist. But today we are talking about what people are not able to do. When the doctor shakes his head and says, "Dear sir or madam, I'm at the end. See how you cope. I have no remedy, nor can I help you." Then comes the moment when we have to take on our task and remember the great physician who healed everyone without having opened a practice. In connection with the preaching of the gospel, the demons were cast out and the sick were healed. When the Lord cast out deaf spirits, people heard. Is it true or not? So, please, no fanaticism. Anyone who has an illness that the doctor can still deal with, let him thank God that they don't have one that the doctor can't yet deal with. That's how it is. Seriously, we are all just among ourselves today. We don't really need to pray for things that the doctor can still deal with. And I have the greatest difficulty when someone comes and says, "I have a cold," then I could almost say, "I have it too," and that's it. And if someone comes and says, "I've got a cold," I could say to them, "I've had that too." That's not the point. It is really about signs and wonders, about healings that amaze the doctor, where all the Latin, and you know, they all speak Latin, where all the Latin has come to an end, and we have no other way than the way to God, then we should take it, but in faith, and say, "Lord, you have established the kingdom of God on earth. You have made the beginning through your ministry, and you have established your church so that you can continue to work through her." And our Lord says, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. The works that I have done, ye will do also, because I am going to the Father." We must face up to this divine task. Just saying, "I'm sorry," the doctor can say that. The neighbor can say that. Work colleagues can say that. Everyone can say that. But we have to bring God's answer with God's help. Yes, the church has the divine answer, whether you can grasp it or not. The church has received the commission from God to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead, and everything else that is written here. And we must take this task seriously so that people who are tested almost beyond their capacity do not perish in their despair. Let us take it from the hand of God today. all of you who know that doctors cannot help you, you know very well that God can help you. And that is why we can come to Him in confidence. Tell me where He once failed, where He once said it would happen this way and it didn't happen that way. Every word of God is the absolute truth. And at one point, Brother Branham literally said that every person who comes to God with a right attitude and a promise of the Word, God is obligated to fulfill the Word of promise. God cannot promise something and then sit down and do nothing. That is not possible. God stands by His Word. And heaven and earth may pass away, hills and mountains may vanish, but whoever believes will find that His Word remains true forever, as the song goes. So, what we ourselves cannot do, spiritually speaking, and what doctors cannot do physically, we will place in the hands of God and say, Lord, we are Your people. We believe what You have told us in Your Word. Take us, give us the right inspiration through Your Spirit, that we do not ask and beg for a long time, but speak out in faith what we want to ask of God, and also give thanks in faith that we have received it. And the brothers are ready to lay hands on in faith, provided we are also prepared to believe that God has placed them and that God is still bound by His Word today. When the Lord says that they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, then that is a divine promise, a word that we stand on, a word that God wants to fulfill. We must face up to this task and say, Lord, come and work in our midst through the power of Your blood, Your Word, and Your Spirit. Take all those who are to pray and those who are to be prayed for. Order everything and guide us by Your Holy Spirit. Take all fear away from us. Sometimes we are afraid of doing something wrong. And just then we do everything wrong, not just something, but everything. We should believe that God is watching and that He is with us and that we can come into a meeting, into His presence and tell Him everything and expect everything. Expect everything from God so that we do not leave as we came, but can call on the name of the Lord and be convinced from the heart at the same time as we call and then give thanks that He has heard us. No one should feel obliged to come to the front today to be prayed for because of what we looked at today. But should someone have been inspired by the Spirit without having to think about it, anyone who still needs time to reflect, his time to be prayed for has not yet come. As I said earlier, a divine spark must have been kindled, and then God cannot help but honor the faith of those who come to Him. Should it be that someone cannot cope on their own and has searched their whole life and does not know what to do, then you, dear child of God, have the right to say, Lord, You have let us know tonight that there are gifts in the church for the purpose of telling me where the enemy has his right on me. We can also pray for this, and the Lord will hear us because we are praying according to His will. And then we realize that our requests have already been granted by Him. I'm convinced that God will lead us His way in every way, and that He will give us clarity about what we have to do, both one and the other. Whoever comes to the front to minister with a word, whoever has been addressed and comes to God with a request, or when those who have a gift are to be used from God, the Lord will help us. This is an instruction that has been given to us, and we want to take it very seriously, really, so that God can reveal Himself. Our cry is that of Job. O God, how much longer? I wait for light, and it is dark. I wait for healing, and I am sick. I wait for help, and I am in trouble. But you all know that God has answered. The chapters don't end with a trouble. If it did, I would close now and say, my God, we can go home. No, it ends quite differently. It ends with God's answer. It ends with God's help. And we can also expect that from God. We can believe that the things that have affected us are not the end after all. The end is in the hands of God. And when He turns down to us and speaks to us and reveals Himself to us and we see His glory, then we are helped. Then we are comforted, and that is precisely what we are counting on, what we are waiting for. Imagine if it ended with what we read in chapter 30. If 36 and 37 and 38 were not also written there, where the Lord revealed Himself in such a marvelous way. Beloved, the cry of desperation of God's people is reaching His throne, and the day must come, the hour of God must come, in which we receive the answer from His sanctuary. Is it today? May God grant it by grace. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, from our hearts, we thank you tonight for your holy word. Lord, it is written, you have cast out devils by the word. You spoke, and it was done. You commanded, and it stood fast. Lord, give us the faith that we do not need to do anything on our own, and at the same time, the confidence that you have already done everything that will happen. Faithful Lord, every sick person you ever wanted to heal and did heal happened when you died on the cross of Calvary. You were wounded because of our sins, beaten for our iniquities. The punishment was laid on you for our peace, and by your stripes we have been healed. Lord, we thank you for this. May this full salvation take root in our souls. Lord, that we may not give room to any other thought than this. For we all know that our Savior lives. He not only took suffering and iniquity and sickness upon himself. He died, shed his blood, descended to hell, defeated all the power of the devil and also death, and rose again on the third day. Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. We are so clumsy as to place ourselves at your disposal. Lord, I ask you, help me and help us all. I thank you that the days of torment are numbered. O God, you will confirm your word in an incomparable way. Lord, we cannot help but believe you with all our hearts. Beloved Savior, you as Redeemer have loved us so dearly and have purchased us at a high price. Now we are the redeemed multitude, together with many on the whole earth. Faithful Savior, no longer allow us to remain clumsy, to hesitate and falter. Make us courageous under the proclamation of your word, and give us faith to act on the basis of Scripture, to see your arm revealed. Lord, what we have contemplated today, let it come true among us by grace. Come to your right. Oh, I praise you and thank you for your grace and faithfulness. Lord, give us an intimate compassion for one another, that we may bear one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. Savior, I pray especially for such cases tonight, where people are in inner distress and cannot help themselves and cannot expect any help from doctors. O God, may it happen that they come to you in faith and experience salvation, deliverance, and healing. O God, we believe that you are the same, and we believe that you bear witness to yourself where there is real faith according to your word. Beloved Lord, make us apt to make ourselves available to you, O God, that faith would no longer be an effort, but a bliss in your presence, trusting you. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. You are present tonight. You have spoken to us through your word and through your spirit. Beloved Lord, continue to speak to us until we fully understand you and until you have come fully to your right in us, with us, and through us. Lord, for it causes you pain when your accomplished work of redemption is called into question by the enemy in the midst of your people. Oh my God, roll this shame away from us and help us. That is our common cry today. And as Job said, I stand up in the congregation and cry out, Oh my God, here we are, standing in your presence, O God, so overwhelmed that we can hardly say anything. Oh, how we wish that you could work through your Spirit even now at the end of this service. Here we are, faithful God. What do you want to do? Take us. Together we ask it. O Lord, give us grace to understand the responsibility and that you have accomplished everything, that we only have to say it in faith and then it shall be granted to us. O Lord, thank you. Thank you. Praise, glory, and worship. You, our dearly beloved Savior, you faithful Lord, to you be glory forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.